sums it all up. Arsenal, the cream of the crop.
Welcome to the 72nd edition of the Gooner podcast, recorded on the Monday evening after Arsenal's 3-1 away defeat at Stoke. This podcast is sponsored by the website. For all your unofficial Arsenal t-shirt needs, go to goonershirts.com. I'm your host, Don Sebastiano, filling in the hot seat for David Udo, who we hope to have back soon. David, if you are listening to this, get well soon, mate. After last month's caviar with Amy Lawrence and Philip Auclair, it's back to sausage and chips, although we are hoping the example given by the intelligent musings of last month's State of the Arsenal Nation panel will provide an inspiration to the usual suspects, especially as my good self is the other side of the microphone, which is a bit like putting Sebastian Squillaci in goal, but that's the sort of thing Wenger would do anyway, so here we are. So if there are any own goals, please forgive me, listeners. So let's see how this lunatic takes over the asylum and the experiment works out. And we will start with a few panel introductions. First up, he's not a happy gooner at the moment, but then again, who is? Our only hope is that he refrains from too many profanities and does not get through his customary bottle of wine with indecent haste. Allowed back after a 2-month ban, it's the only man ever to hate David Seaman, the Highbury spy, Mr. Steve Ashford.
Well read, Basti, and it's good to be back.
Thank you. And next, he was once a believer. He thought that Arsene did know best, but like many this season, he has come over to the dark side. More AMG or WLP than AKB. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure everyone can work it out.
I think it's Arsene knows best. That's the vernacular during the internet forums as we speak, Basti.
And WLP?
Don't know that one.
Wenger's lost the plot, and AMG?
Arsene must go.
Another of our original panellists, also returning after a 2-month hiatus. God, who puts words like that into a Gooner podcast? It's Mr. Mark Ollington.
Hello, listeners.
And finally, last but by no means least, under normal circumstances, he would be sitting in the host chair doing what I'm doing. However, after failing to control myself, Steve and Mark at the last time of asking, the powers that have made a tactical switch, the powers that be have made a tactical switch, realising it was not a good idea to repeat the experience, he's on the panel for this one. It's a warm welcome, however, to Mr. Joe Broadfoot.
Finally, in my right position, not as host.
He's back where he belongs. It only took a minute, then he went and did it. Right, so let's move on to some questions. A spirited victory over Man United, followed by defeat at Stoke. Does this encapsulate our season, Steve?
It certainly does encapsulate our season. In fact, I can't remember the last time we actually won two games on the trot, to be honest. We only won three of our last 13 games. One of those was against Leighton Orient. Good old, magnificent, mighty Leighton Orient. And I just think that this season has been a total and utter disaster. You know, encapsulated by the Bolton game, the Stoke game. They can beat the big teams. They beat, you know, they beat Barcelona, beat Chelsea, beat Man United last week. But you can bet your life, if we'd have needed to beat Man United to be champions, we would have lost or drawn. The pressure was off, so we beat them. And then, sure enough, we go back to our proper form at Stoke, capitulate to a horrendous dead ball decision, you know, where Shavin stupidly and needlessly pushed the Stoke player to concede the free kick. We all know how dangerous Stoke can be from free kicks. And sure enough, you just had to wait for the net to bulge, and it did. And when we got back to the, 2-1, and then only for Giroud to just throw it away a second or a minute later by just needlessly passing the ball out, I just wanted to kick the TV in. I mean, that, to me, kicking the TV in sums up my season.
Right, and Joe?
Well, I agree with Steve to some extent, but I think we went a bit over the top saying it was a total and utter disaster this season, because looking at the squad we've got, it's done as well as it possibly can. But the blame lies on Arsene Wenger's shoulders. I mean, the thing that irritated me most about Stoke is after the game, it seemed to me like he's displacing the blame and putting it on the players. When, if you've assembled a team of kids, you can't really expect them to win anything. And most of us didn't, except Arsene Wenger, who thought he was right. Now, I'm not suggesting Arsene Wenger should go, but he needs more help than he's getting. And why is he not getting help? Perhaps he doesn't want it. I'm not really too sure of the reasons, but something's got to change. And hopefully now Arsene Wenger realises it. Because if you've got a team of young kids, they're going to perform well one week and not so well the next. That's just what kids do. Well, now, why doesn't Arsene Wenger know that?
Well, it seems to be a big question whether Arsene Wenger is deciding, I want to go with kids, or he just doesn't have the facility to buy. That's the bit that we're kind of at odds about.
I'm sure he's got the facility to buy. I mean, it's been well documented over the last couple of seasons that he's had anything up to 30 or 40 million to spend. He just chooses not to spend it. And every single year, a club of Arsenal stature, we turn in a profit on transfers. And I reckon we'll do it again this year. We'll sell a few others. And the money won't be spent.
You mentioned in the intro, Basti, that, you know, if you're going by these terms, I wasn't Arsenal's best person up to this season. I think what it comes down to is, you look at the man that's delivered two doubles, three league championships, four FA Cups, and it's upsetting to finally say to yourself, this bloke can't do it anymore. And I know we come under a lot of criticism here for being really anti-Wenger, but the sad thing is that, you know, there comes a time in any job when you stop having your golden period and you get to the point where you've done as much as you possibly can. It happens to great pop stars of our time. Look at Barry and Tin Machine. He produced a whole raft of brilliant albums in the 70s. Look at Prince, the latter part of his career. And I said to Steve before, Ferguson, even though I can't stand the guy, is a one-off. He's been there for 25 years at Man United, but totally changed himself every single time. Different backroom staff, different ways of doing things. He's special. Wenger, even though he had a brilliant sustained period of 5-6 years, is going backwards. And it's really upsetting for me, as a massive previous fan, to MC. And I don't want to sit here and be negative and slag him off, but some of the choices that he's made this season are absolutely baffling. And his inability to admit he's ever wrong is disgusting. I mean, look at January, when we come so close on a few centre-backs, yet we persist with signings like Sebastian Scolacci. It's unbelievable. And I'm sitting here today with Hugh. I walked down from the tube, got off at Finchley Park, walked down St Thomas's Road and saw the old Highbury, or was the old Highbury, now flats, and felt incredible sadness because, you know, it's a spring evening. I remember walking down there for Saturday games, and that sounded like an old fart reminiscing about Highbury days. That team Wenger built at Highbury and had at Highbury was just unbelievably brilliant, and we should never forget what he'd done and what those brilliant teams were, because it was fantastic. What we're seeing now is a pale imitation of that. It's a man gone too far, a man that's been at the club for far too long, and it's really sad.
But wouldn't you agree also that maybe you mentioned all the things Arsenal won under Wenger, but that was very much down to a back five that he inherited?
Kind of, Basti, but don't forget, when we went a whole season without losing one game, actually, some of those back four were Wenger signings with regards to Lauren and Campbell and stuff like that.
But you still had Keogh, and you still had
core.
Oh, I totally agree. But what I'm saying is that, yeah, you did. But he used to buy better offensive players. He bought Vieiras that were strong players in the midfield that can stand up, be counted. And now we've got a team of not winners. And it's Wilshere, as I said before in his podcast, who's playing by accident. Wilshere's only playing this season because, you know, Wenger was due to fly him out to Bolton on a loan again. I think it's an injury at the start of the season that he got a place in the team.
Not a free.
Yeah, and then stayed there by sheer luck. And Wenger didn't choose to have Wilshere in the team. He was going to loan him out again. And he's the heart and soul of our club at the moment.
Absolutely.
But he's only there by accident, as in Ashley Cole was.
If we didn't have Jack Wilshere this year, I dread to think how bad it would have been.
Totally.
Seska's not performed this year. Song's not performed this year. So many players have not performed to their true capabilities. And I actually feel that Wenger's lost the ability to motivate the team.
So will Arsenal ever have an easier chance to win the title than this season?
No.
I mean, because Man U and Chelsea went through big periods underperforming. And it was there for the taking at one point. What do you think, Joe?
There's a golden opportunity missed, really. In January, everyone said, if Wenger strengthens the defence, brings in a central defender and a goalkeeper, we'd have a really good chance of winning the league. And that opportunity, for one reason or another, was spurned. I presume it's to do with finances. But then we hear the opposite. We hear that there was money to spend, but he chose not to spend it. We keep hearing about Chris Samble was on the verge of joining Arsenal, but for one reason or another, didn't happen. It's just ridiculous. It all goes back to the summer again. Everyone knew we needed a goalkeeper, but Arsene Wenger thought it's not urgent and didn't address the problem. Well, it's about time he did address the problems. As I said, as I said previously, I don't think he should be fired by any means. He should certainly get one more chance.
Why not, Joe? I mean, because has he had the last two, three seasons to prove himself?
Yeah,
what's
he
going to happen
has.
Next year?
Because I think finally the coin has dropped. If it hasn't this year, then he has to go.
Mind you, though, even as late as last week, he was still saying, "If I sign a player, it kills one of my kids." So as far as I can see, the penny hasn't dropped.
Well, yeah, I think it's so. Why is the team so inconsistent? I mean, Man United were inconsistent this season. Chelsea were inconsistent, losing silly matches. But why is it we throw away games like Newcastle, 12 minutes, you know, into injury time against Liverpool at home? Stupid, ridiculous, childish, schoolboy errors. Why is it?
Well, I don't think there's a leader on the pitch for a start off. I mean, had we had a leader at Newcastle, at home to Liverpool, home to West Brom, home to Spurs, all the games that we've thrown away that eventually cost us the title. If we'd have had a leader on the pitch or a leader on the bench, just to show a little bit of tactical nous, tactical responsibility, you know, someone who can clench his fist and say, you know, come on, let's fucking do it, you know.
Yeah.
Let's not lose this game. You know, I don't think all those disasters would have happened. But Wenger didn't sign that leader. We haven't had one since Vieira and Adams left, to my mind.
But leadership's connected with experience. And when you look at Premier League experience, how much Premier League experience has that team got? Not that many players have clocked up a lot of games, apart from, say, Fabregas and Van Persie to a point. You know, these guys are the supposed leaders on the pitch. But when you look around, I mean, and Clichy's, he's got a few games under his belt, but compared to the other teams, so I'm talking about three players with a lot of experience. Giroud's only been a first-team regular this season. Koscielny's never played in the Premier League up until this season. And then Sanya's had a good season, that's why he got named in the PFA Team of the Year. But not a great season, but he's been better than what's been around him. And the goalkeeping situation, that's just complete joke.
And right. even our most experienced players, like Clichy, sometimes they're the ones that make the most errors.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
but they're surrounded by kids, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree to an extent, Joe, I do, but I think it's more to do with the type of player rather than the age of player. Mm. When you look at the team that won the league in 89, it was for the kids. Mm. It was for the players like Rocastle, you know, Thomas, that all come through the youth team, and players plucked out of like really lower league clubs. That was quite a young team that won the league in 89. The difference is the mentality of the players that we sign now. With some of these lovely, pretty little footballers, tippy-tappy. Mm. And it's eight players like Wilshere that come in with a bit of heart, a bit of strength, but don't typify the average type of Wenger player now.
But they're also midfielders, right? Now, I think that, okay, there's a question here. It says, we know that the manager, what the manager needs to do, but will he actually do any of the following? In my opinion, you see, what we're really missing is a Keown and Adams, to two strong centre-backs, which then the left and right-back can, you know, they'll feel safer. The keeper, you know, that is the kind of you-will-not-pass back door that we don't have, you know, or front door, rather. And it asks here, question one, would Wenger get in a number two who will challenge him and genuinely contribute to the changes needed?
Well, personally,
Pat Rice.
I would love it. If Tony Adams came back, nothing would make me happier as an Arsenal fan. If Tony Adams was sitting on that bench, if it has to be Wenger, then so be it, because personally I would get rid of him, because I think we're flogging a dead horse keeping Arsene Wenger on. I think he's past his sell-by date. He's lost the ability to motivate the players. He's lost the ability to play the transfer market, and he's lost the ability to win trophies. But if the club keeps Wenger, then I would like Tony Adams as his right-hand man, someone who can get in that dressing room, motivate the players.
You could have George Graham as Tony Adams' right-hand man as well. Then we'd have a very good defence.
It's clear that Wenger has lost the ability to motivate. And after every defeat, and it happened again yesterday against Stoke, one of the players comes out and says, we need to fight harder, we need to fight more, we need to battle more, we need to show more commitment.
Yeah.
They've been saying that for 3 years.
Yeah.
How come they haven't learned it by now?
Yeah. No, it's Sanya in the Standard tonight was saying we don't fight enough.
Exactly.
The amount of times we read that after.
That's why they said that's the Spurs defeat.
Yeah. And going back to Twitter, we mentioned that before, how it gets the truth out of players. Wilshere, when Jens Lehmann came back, I think said some comment like, you know, on Twitter that having Lehmann there was like having a real leader back in the dressing room. That says it all, or an assistant manager.
Yeah.
But it goes back to your point is, Wenger, it seems from everything that you say with regards to coaches and everything else, he does not want help. He doesn't want to help in transfers, doesn't want to help in signing players, doesn't want to help in coaching. It's all him. And I can't ever see a situation where it's anything other than a, like, yes man. I mean, Borrow Primrax been with him for what, 20 odd years?
Yeah.
How's that going to change?
Well, we're the only team, I think, in all four divisions that has still got the same manager, the same coach and the same trainer, i.e. Borrow Primovic, in the last 15, 16 years.
And what do you think?
Well, other club has kept the manager, coach and other and trainer manager, for 15 consecutive years.
When you see Pat Rice sitting on the bench there, I mean, what do you... You know, I love Pat Rice because he's a legend.
The guy's
Arsenal legend.
Practically blind, though. The guy can hardly see. He's sitting the whole time getting the wrong sub over. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but, you know, he's a poor guy's accident waiting to happen. And he can't be that healthy anymore, surely. Well, he doesn't get about to kill over at any time.
You're right. And people go on about saying, oh, Wenger's got to change. I was chatting to some guys at work today. They said they don't want Wenger to go, they want him to change. I said, that's like being married to the same woman for 15 years... And her habits are really annoying you to the extent you want to kill yourself.
But
and then you say to
her, really
oh,
good,
I want to keep you as my wife, but you've got to change. She's not going to change.
No, no.
And you know, even if we did get Tony Adams back in the fold as coach, you know, is Wenger going to let him have any power?
Probably what I'm afraid of, though, is if we start changing for change's sake, you know, like Tottenham down the road, they do that. They get through managers like, well, like some of us get through girlfriends. And it's not healthy. It's just not healthy. You end up catching something if you do that.
But so there are three more questions here. Just ought we start placing greater emphasis on defence during training, buy some more experienced leaders to shift the balance away from youth, and spend all of the money available to Wenger this summer, unlike a year ago, and you know, break the bank a bit and just go for some experienced, proper, rounded footballers?
I wouldn't trust Wenger to spend the money, to be honest. I know I sound like a broken record, but when was the last time Wenger spent any money on apart from Vermaelen? I admit Vermaelen was a great signing. You know, didn't play this year, but a great signing.
But he wasn't a great signing by the
looks of
it.
All the players Wenger has spent money on or signed and given big wages to, he's coached all the goodness out of them. He's coached the goodness out of Arshavin. He's coached the goodness out of Reyes, out of Nasri, out of Fabregas. All of the players are worse players now. Chamac, another example.
I don't know about Fabregas. I still think Fabregas is a brilliant player. I don't think I think Arshavin's got a psychological problem somewhere. He doesn't look like he wants it. In fact, a lot of the players don't.
Doesn't it help, though, is it being getting played out of him in the favourite right position for 2 years? I mean, he's been played on the wing or here, there, and everywhere. That's not where he plays his best football. It's not rocket science.
And when you see Wally Walcott being picked ahead of you every week, I mean, that would do my head in. If I was a world class player like Arshavin, and I saw a boy with no mental ability and can't read the game, and he's got one solitary asset, which is his pace,
and
head
his finishing
of me
ability to
every week.
I think Walcott, I mean, I'd defend Walcott a bit more than that. He's still very young, and I think he's become a better player over the last two years.
And his crossing isn't as bad as it used to be.
Well, when he's good, he's good, but he does have games where, I mean, against Stoke, for example, they just had like two rows of four men, and there was no he couldn't run away from anyone, so he was stifled.
They dropped deep to make sure that Walcott couldn't do his stuff.
If you look at good players,
but then a good manager would have realised that and taken Walcott off because it wasn't a day for
Walcott.
Instead of that, he takes off players that Ramsey. I didn't think Arshavin played that badly.
No,
or Ramsey.
Apart from that mistake that
Ramsey
led to the goal,
apparently he was tired.
This brings us to the question. I noticed the Stoke City fans were singing boring, boring, right? They weren't singing boring, boring Arsenal, just boring, 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 boring. And there was a point where I started agreeing with them because I'm getting a bit bored of watching us ticky-tacky for hours and hours on end and then not getting into the area or very occasionally, although some lame shot from Van Persie from the edge of the box. Now, are you getting bored with Arsenal's style of play?
Rumour has it that they're not coached to shoot. You know, they're just not. When they're training and coaching every week, you know, he coaches the shooting out of them. If you look at Wilshere this year, Wilshere always had a good shot in him. When he was a youth team player, and I saw him in a few youth team games, in the early Carling Cup games, he always had a shot on him. He always had a finish. Now he gets in the shooting areas, he's always looking to pass, tippy-tappy. Apparently, When a player shoots in training, Wenger whistles as if to say that was wrong.
Oh, that's interesting you should say that, Steve. Because, you know, Cesc Fabregas, his goal-scoring record was absolutely phenomenal until he arrived at Arsenal. He was scoring like 40, 50 goals. Okay, it was a lower league level. But then when he arrived at Arsenal, it was like one or two a season. And okay, he stepped it up after that. But it's interesting.
It's this constant quest to score the perfect goal, which is never going to happen. I mean, someone wrote on the Gooner website today, which is a brilliant article. He said he expects, or it might have been Lee Grove, he expects Van Persie to be fined for scoring that goal yesterday. A, because he made the goal himself. B, because he picked the ball up and ran at a defender. And C, because he had the temerity to shoot. And I, do you know what? And I thoroughly agree with that. You know, it's all wrong.
So maybe we should get Ian Wright as coach of attack and Tony Adams as defensive coach and just let Wenger do the midfield bit.
Or they could do nothing, really. I mean, going back to your question, Basti, I mean, I can't stand Stoke. I despise them. But they had a point. I mean, they're going boring, boring, boring. I yearn for the days of George Graham, a big, huge punt up the pitch, onto Adam Smith, Ian Wright, goal. Brilliant. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to have a bit of that now?
Yeah. And what you said earlier about when we were at Highbury with that brilliant team, you know, when we used to break at lightning pace.
Yeah.
First 25 minutes, we used to catch teams, bosh, 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 goal.
On a small, narrow pitch.
Yeah, a white hot lane. Then. It, at Spurs in the second, third, last match of the season where we won the title, the first two goals down the left wing, bosh, 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 goal. We never see that now. It's so laborious. And you know, Wenger has changed his personnel signing, but you know, by signing totally different players to what he used to. His tactics have also changed, and I just think that this is the end for Wenger.
That's a really good point, Steve, when you think about it. Going back to players like Overmars and Perez, we've played a totally different type of football than what we do now. And the type of football that we played with proper wingers, Lundberg, players like that, remember in the Bergkamp, won us leagues and trophies. Why has he changed the style of football? What's made him decide that's the type of football to play?
Yeah.
Okay, we've only got a couple of minutes left and there's still a couple of questions here. A yes-no answer for this one. Do you believe a top four place will still be achieved next season with Wenger in charge, Joe?
Yes.
Steve?
No.
I thought you'd say that. Mark?
Sorry to give a long answer, but with City stronger, Tottenham in the game, Liverpool stronger next season, it's not beyond the realms, but it's not a given.
So that was neither yes or no. You'd make a great politician. But it does bring us on to the next question, which is, will Man City and Liverpool prove more of a threat next season?
Yes.
I think so, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And add Tottenham to that list. I mean, you know, even though they're not going to qualify this season, if they come sixth and Liverpool beat them to fifth, then we have no kind of European football next season at all. 38 games is not a lot. And that's why they qualify for the Champions League in the first place, because they'd never have matches to play. So don't discount Tottenham if they keep hold of their players next season, even though I despise the bastards.
But if Wenger's learnt his lesson, then Arsenal should be stronger next year. And plus, the kids are going to be another year older.
But so like Steve said, like, you know, the wife argument, do they learn the lesson? I mean, no disrespect to wives out there, that can also go to husbands. I don't want to start making enemies of the fairer sex.
If he signs all these players, he will just lose the ability to motivate them as well. Yeah. And their careers will go backwards.
And is Danielson really going to be that much better next season? Is Diaby really going to be that much better next season?
Oh, God, don't mention the D. Let's put it this way. Diaby, Danielson and Aboué are not Davis, Rocastle and Thomas, are they? Let's face it. Very quickly, Liverpool, are they evidence that a change of manager can transform a club with that old Dalglish? Dalglish just stands there. Remember that?
But I'll tell you what, I mean, old cliche, do bear shit in the woods. Since Dalglish has been there, that club has been transformed. And if ever you wanted, you know, kind of proof that changing your manager can help, yeah, that's it. And so all the AKBs that say, oh, be careful what you wish for, better the devil you know, I'm not frightened to change. I mean, I've changed throughout my life constantly, and I wouldn't bother me now to change our manager. I'd take a chance.
Yeah.
Chelsea are going to change Ancelotti. If Chelsea change Ancelotti, they're going to get an unknown manager. You know, I'll bet you they finish above us next year.
Right, we've got 30 seconds just to find out what are the arguments for keeping Arsene Wenger as manager.
Joe. Stability. You need a certain amount of stability at a club if you're going to build success. Look at Ferguson. When he first arrived at Manchester United, they wanted to get rid of him. They persevered. And I'm saying, we've had our success with Arsene Wenger, and we should give him a chance to just at least one more year.
As a counter to that, Joe, I think Ferguson's a one-off. There's a very big danger that we could become like a Brian Clough. Wenger become the new Clough, and don't discount relegation in 3 or 4 years' time if we maintain having Arsene Wenger. That sounds a huge, far-fetched thing, but don't forget, Brian Clough was at Forest a long, long time, and look what happened to him. To me, he's very similar to Wenger. Comes along, does a great job at the start, then the latter end of his career is a big downward spiral. Sorry, mate.
Right, we're going to have to take a short break before continuing in our next podcast. But as always, just to mention that if you do want to email us about anything related to the podcast, our address is GoonaPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks once again to our sponsors, GoonaShirts.com. And there's just time for a brief farewell from the panel, which is Joe.
Bye.
Steve.
Keep the faith.
Mark.
Cheerio.
And we'll be back with another edition of the podcast very soon. I'm your host, Don Sebastiano. Thanks for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Hooray!